Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Touchdowns All Day with John Barber, the podcast. We're going to open the show with a little music today. I think in the spirit of throwbacks, I wanted to play this early demo of Who's in Charge. Primarily because I have all these demos clogging up my computer. I don't know what to do with them, so might as well play them for you guys. So this is what the song sounds like very early in its career. It's a very simple idea, some drums, a little bit of synths, a little groove. And I'm going to do this for the next couple episodes, play you guys some early demos of stuff. Because they do change in some interesting ways.
Who's in charge of this place? We got something to play. Hear us out. Take a moment. We want to know who's calling the shots. We got the music. We got that sound.
So a lot of you who are familiar with Deep Playa Trance. So I'll take a section like this, and I'll just jam on it for a while, and Aaron and Mark come over and jam on it, and we'll send it to Alan, he'll play over it, you know. We'll work a section like this into what it is today, which is a little bit less Playa Trance than this. There you go, folks. That is maybe 15 versions before the final version, which you can hear on Spotify, all streaming networks, YouTube, etc. From one of our new albums that we're making. We're making a couple new albums right now for you guys because we want you to have cool tunes to listen to. And I'm here in my hotel in Grand Rapids making a podcast for y'all because I think I figured out how to make a podcast from the road finally. And, you know, just because it's football season, we got to bring back Touchdowns All Day. You can't have the Touchdowns All Day podcast without football season. And I just wanted to throw out a little tidbit. I learned something really interesting this week because I found out how the NFL does their schedules. And I just want to say to all the college football people listening right now, chair people and all that stuff that are listening to this podcast, the NFL has the best teams from last year play the best teams next year. That's the way the NFL does it. So one plays one, two plays two, three plays three. So this is already a thing. It's just not a thing in college football. Where we were talking on the podcast maybe 2 years ago or something. I think it was 2019. It feels like a before pandemic conversation. This feels very before pandemic. This is a before pandemic episode of the podcast. Before pandemic, we cared about things like football. Post-pandemic, we'll see. Football, I think, will be fine, you know, because it's great. But still, it does feel in the back of your mind like, it's not quite as important as it felt before. And college football needs to keep up with that. And to do that, college football needs one to play two next year off of this year's rankings. And preferably the year after, 2 years back or something like that. So we talked about this on podcast Game 5. We hope you survive. Call all your college football representatives and let them know. Game 5, we hope you survive. One plays two, three plays four, five plays six from last year's rankings. The NFL already does it. And this is what's wrong in college football, because you could have the same four teams at the top every year and they don't play each other next year. Think about that. That's the problem, right? If all the teams that were great last year had to play each other next year, then some of them would be eliminated and new teams would be up there. And we would have a nice rotation of teams and qualities and squads and talent and people from all over the country. It would be much more fun. All right, that's my college football rant. I am excited for football season. I know the NFL preseason just kicked off. We have Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurd on the Eagles now. I mean, come on. Am I watching this movie over and over and over again or something like that? You know, this is my college team is now my pro team. I don't know. It's hard to not be an Eagles fan living in Philadelphia because it is very contagious. It's hard to be a Giants fan, period. Like, what's going on over there? I feel like when I watch the Giants, I am watching my childhood. And it doesn't feel like a team anymore. I wish those guys would get it together and win a couple Super Bowls. I know they got it in them. So let's talk about the podcast. We are going into the crate here to try and get you all some cool pre-pandemic stuff, because we're kind of doing that right now with the podcast, where we did Karina Reichman post-pandemic, we did Karina pre-pandemic, and we're doing the same thing here with our roundtables. We have two roundtables from pre-pandemic. And it just is kind of cool to listen to this because we talk about all sorts of stuff. We talk about O.J. Simpson, we talk about Game of Thrones, the Bee Gees, Ram Jam, the role of the invention of the bathtub and the fall of Rome. We talk about all this hilarious stuff in these roundtables, and it's all pre-pandemic. So you get an idea where heads were at pre-pandemic. It's literally right before the pandemic hit. And it's a little bit, you know, it's a good time to bring back out the Game of Thrones conversation because the House of Dragon has launched on HBO. I don't know how many of you watch that, but it seems like the plot of little girl destined for the throne but not allowed to have it in the world that she lives in. Wasn't that the plot of Game of Thrones? So the plot, they're like, ooh, the plot of House of Dragons is exactly the same as plot of Game of Thrones, but without all the cool characters? I don't understand what's going on. So I'm excited about the show, to be honest with you, because I like this whole giant dragon imagery TV shows that have a lot of mythology. I like the TV shows where there's a lot to go on, where all that mythology is really well thought out. I don't know why I like that. It's a DNA thing or something. I have no idea. We'll see. After Westworld's view that robots are too dumb to run the world and would destroy the whole thing, and that very dystopian output of that show, which was just a lost cause from season one, We'll see if House of Dragon has this, you know, joie de vivre that you're all looking for. I don't know if it's going to or not. I don't know if the football season's going to have the joie de vivre that you're all looking for. But Biscuit Tour is having the joie de vivre that y'all are looking for. So let's just get into that real quick. Real quick, shout out to our sponsors. If you're growing weed, you need seeds. Immaculate Seeds. Thank you for sponsoring the show, Immaculate Seeds. We have some Biscuit shows coming up in September. We have September 8th at the Grand Opry House in Wilmington, Delaware. That's like a local show. I mean, you got to go to September 8th. September 9th and 10th, Soundstage, Southside Stage at XL Live in Harrisburg, PA, with Dogs in a Pile and Yam Yam. So finally, I get to meet those guys. October 27th, Spirit of Swanee Music Fest. October 28th, Salvage Station in Asheville, North Carolina. October 29th is the Norva. November 10 and 11, Infinity Music Hall. November 12th, MGM Music Hall. November 13th, Sherwin Theater, Stroudsburg, PA. November 18th and 19th is the Eastern at Atlanta, Georgia. We need all the Atlanta heads to show up. The Eastern is a cool new venue. We've been dying to play it. Two nights there is going to be massive. So we need everybody in Georgia to come to November 18 and 19. Everyone in the Southeast has got to come to the Eastern Atlanta, Georgia. Got to come to those shows. We'll figure out a way to make it super special for you. And I'll probably debut some stuff, which has been our new strategy. Do you like our new strategy, fans of debuting stuff all the time? Are you looking for more like theme shows where we dress up the same or... you know, where we do other interesting things. What are you guys looking for? Tweet at us with @touchdownsallday and let us know. Just let us know, folks. I read the tweets. I try and favorite them and stuff so you know I'm reading them, but I read them anyways. Gotta stay focused on what the fans want. You know what I mean? Gotta stay super focused. So this episode, you might remember in Touchdowns All Day episode 28, for those of you who want to go back and check it out, we did this thing called a roundtable, which was myself, Brandon Neward from BroBible.com, who's an infamous jam band fan, Chris the Swedish Fish, and Crunk Mike. We all sat down and we, you know, hung out, made jokes, relaxed, just totally chilled, and left the mics on. And we made this roundtable. That was episode 28. And we also made two more. And then when the pandemic hit, we just didn't put them out. So now we're going to put them out where this episode and next episode are going to be all about the round tables. And frankly, I think these are the good ones. These are the funny ones. So check them out. Do you want us to do more round tables? Is this a cool thing? Tweet at us @touchdownsallday. Send us Instagram responses @touchdownsallday. I don't know, what's our Twitter? @TDADBaby. It's all so confusing. Yes. So anyways, that's the wrap. Here we go. We're going to take a walk into pre-pandemic comedy land for two episodes in a row. I'm going to cut both the podcasts from the road. So that's what's going on here, and we're going to play some shows tonight, Grand Rapids, and we're playing Sacred Rose tomorrow in Chicago, and I do have to practice for that stuff, too. So I'm taking a second to whip out a quick podcast for you guys, so we got something going on. Big shout-out to our sponsors, Immaculate Seeds, because they are back, sponsoring two episodes of Touchdowns All Day. We have a ticket giveaway with them, two pairs of VIP tickets. Drive over to Grow Active Solutions on Hartford Street in St. Louis and grab yourself a pack of Immaculate Seeds. Mention Touchdowns and get a free pack of Immaculate Seeds. Basically, if you go into Immaculate Seeds and buy some seeds and then say Touchdowns, we'll figure out a way to give you something. You know what I mean? Why not? Why not? I mean, that's a touchdown right there. You go in, buy the seeds, we'll give you something. So Immaculate Seeds works with some of the best cannabis breeders in the country to offer a curated menu that growers and farmers can trust. The services are home grows, farms, medicals, auto flower, feminized, traditional seeds, clothes, DNA testing kits, which confirms the gender of the cannabis plant, which is a big deal. You know what I mean? You need them to be females. 20 to 50% off everything on the menu. Mention Touchdowns All Day when ordering. Get a free pack of seeds. Check out their link tree, Immaculate Seeds. And if you want to send them an email, send it immaculateseeds@gmail.com. So thank you, Immaculate Seeds. We are very, very psyched that you guys have offered us some St. Louis community to our podcast. I think we're enjoying this Midwest little bump that we have going on with people in the Midwest. We're playing shows in the Midwest. Everything's happening in the Midwest. And, you know, next up is California. We did a little High Sierra, and then we're going to go out and do some West Coast stuff. So good times to be a Biscuit fans. A lot of new music, a lot of new stuff. And here is a sampling of our Touchdowns All Day roundtable. I hope you enjoy it. And just quick disclaimer on this, because, you know, it's a sensitive world right now. You know, all these guys are, like, at least on the spectrum a little bit, you know? And everybody's a little weird, and none of us are professional comedians, and nothing that we say make any sense or is a representation of anything at all. We just literally left the mics on while we were just hanging around having fun. That's it. So enjoy the show, and we'll see you after.
We're mass communicating.
We're mass communicating. We're mass communicating.
Guys, gone over.
Let's introduce ourselves so everybody knows who the hell's just rambling on.
I'm Crunk Mike.
Help John make Touchdowns All Day. We've got a couple bros here at the Oasis Pond Studio.
I am Brandon Wenner, the publisher of BroBible.com and Jamman fan. I feel like that's the only way I could make sense of myself in this situation.
It's the only reason you would be here, frankly.
Probably.
Yeah, but you're not really a Jam Band fan, right?
I come and go, man.
You are?
Is Linda Ronstadt a Jam Band?
Yes, Linda Ronstadt. We're going to take Linda Ronstadt.
Sweet.
For sure.
You should add that to the Biscuits cover list.
Yeah. And then I'm John Barber, podcaster extraordinaire.
Nice. And...
Chris, the Swede.
Chris, the Swedish Chris Mafia.
I call you the Swedish Fish, but that's good.
Chris the Swedish Chris Fish also. Yeah. I'm also Chris the Swedish Fish.
Me too.
Are you?
Yeah.
We need some help, man. It's
weird.
Dude, sometimes when I hear you and I laugh right together, we like reach this synchronicity that is... And that's how we broke your window. That's
That's why your window's broken. Sorry. It wasn't my fault. It was your fault. You know, this morning I woke up and I looked at that window and there was a handprint on it.
My God.
What?
And I matched my handprint to it to see if it was mine. I don't know how that
happened. Outside or inside?
It was inside, I think. I think I was working on that amp and I put my hand on the window and didn't notice it, but... I also don't know if that even happened.
Well, O.J. Simpson doesn't live too far from here.
Yeah, so I know.
Brentwood's right down the street. He's probably not allowed there
anymore.
He's
got that Bronco. He's mobile.
My friend lives like right by the stab house or whatever, the murder house, the O.J. house.
Yeah.
We were drinking and we went and like walked the dog and like went by it when I first moved to L.A. It has this like super creepy. It's owned by somebody different now and it's all overgrown like a jungle and it's just.
Can you feel
it? Feels
vibe?
Like two people got murdered there.
The bottom floor is a Chipotle, actually.
He's like so aggressive these days in like everything that he does.
Yeah,
like,
he's a free man.
He's a free man and, you know, knows that he can push the envelope with just one tweet on like anything.
What's that tweet? The glove don't fit.
No, it's like, hey, like I'm dressing up as, you know, whoever for Halloween and like, boom, instantly. Killer costume, OJ.
That's content. He's so good for trolling.
The costume murder.
I'm gonna have to totally murdered that joke, OJ.
I know what I'm doing when I get home tonight. Following OJ and fucking trolling
him. He gives fantasy football advice that is to die for.
Oh. Yeah. Well, his whole like posse in Vegas is like legit boys with like Brent Musburger. So like he's constantly hanging out with like Brent Musburger in Vegas, like just because he can't leave Nevada. That's his whole like parole.
Can't
thing.
Leave Nevada yeah. at all.
He can't leave Nevada.
I guess if there's worse places to be.
Well, that's where you're going to die.
If you're going to die here.
If you're a murderer.
Including OJ. OJ might not kill you, but you're going to die here.
Someone should remake the intro for The Simpsons, but with like OJ Simpson's like stuck. Safe house. Like, The Simpsons. And instead he's on this mountain hideaway. Just like, I don't know. Like on a
I'm not kill you. You're
yeah.
in Las Vegas.
It's true. Yeah.
Hey, he was acquitted. That's all I know him for. An absolutely murderous rusher on the football.
I just really met Hollywood OJ last night. I met no Cuba shit. Gooding Jr. last night.
Amazing. Nice.
Yeah, at a bar. He was getting nice. Sauce.
I knew his brother, Omar. Yeah.
How was
Cuba? Where was that at?
He was totally normal.
Nice fella.
He seemed great to me. I didn't know whether to say, like, You're the best Tidwell. OJ humanly yeah. possible.
Yeah.
Your OJ depiction was murdered. Like,
you
I don't
think
know.
He gets that a lot?
Yeah, I don't know.
You
was
slayed
native.
That shit.
I
could have
pretended like I was like, I know who you are because everybody does, but I'm not going to say anything. But his OJ murdered.
He slayed it.
Before all of that came Stuck out, I saw him at a Super Bowl party where the DJ brought him on stage, like Cuba Gooding Jr. Whoa. Brought him on that he was about to play like OJ. You know, club trash environment, and everyone's just like, oh, Jack! Freaking out on him. It was great.
But also Snow Dogs.
Wait, this is Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Bring How did they know he was going to go away?
Because it was just announced.
It was like,
that,
it just
like,
was like the big news of the week.
The big news of the entertainment news of the
but
week.
But he was not
he was
dressed
be,
as OJ.
No, he was okay. like partying. He was like having a great time.
He was trying to meet people and have fun.
How do you dress as OJ?
I mean, last night he was wearing like overalls
okay
and like a yeah. jacket, so that's how you dress as Cuba Gooding.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I don't know what change you need to make to that outfit to go OJ.
Wear a glove that kind of fits, you know.
Yeah. hold a knife and like a girl by the hand
and roll up with your own Kato Kalin.
Yeah. Oh man, Kato's the man.
He is, yeah.
Like that Kato scene in the Cuba Gooding Jr. like thing where they're in Santa Monica and he's just like rolling up with like a car full of babes. Like it's the most Kato thing you can imagine. Kato Kalin was one of our first really weird celebrity Twitter followers on Bro Bible. So he would retweet Bro Bible stuff and like comment on it and everything like that. And we would just be like, sure, like fucking Kato Kalin of all people is an endorser of what we're doing here.
Yeah, literally one of the most famous people in the world for no reason
for
at
no
all.
Reason.
Except just, OJ murdered him on
the
bucket.
Exactly. And because it was the timing. It was like that whole generation that I'm in, and like, you know, it's like the digital analog split. Like he was the first like
sure.
celebrity from like just
who Kato Kalin?
Who happened to like be, you know what I mean?
The
like
here's yeah, the problem with Kato Kalin. Like, I think, even though I know Kato Kalin is, I think Kato Kalin is the little Asian dude who used to jump out of the ceiling and attack the Pink Panther.
Yeah. Yes.
That's Kato exactly. Kalin. Whenever you say Kato Kalin, I almost think about that guy for a second.
It's Green Hornet.
Yeah,
that was the guy.
Little guy
the
shows guy. Up and kicks the shit out of the Pink Panther. And then I'm like, it's the weird surfer bro that hangs out with OJ. Who's famous for no reason. Why was he even... What, did he live in that bar? Or something like that?
Plastic surgery.
The guest, yeah, he was the guest house guy.
The same
fellow. Who else follows Bro Bible?
Chrissy Teigen is yeah. a huge one. Yeah. She used to be a huge one. She like actually used to write for us before she popped off.
She's pretty fucking hilarious.
She's so funny. So we used to have this column called Ask a Babe.
Yeah.
Way before, I don't even know if she was dating John Legend at the time. She would just write relationship advice and go totally unfiltered on it. It was right. awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking
Chrissy's
about my first
been a huge
three
wives,
fan. Actually. Yeah.
Exactly. She's great.
Yeah. She's funny. She says, tweets Plinko and like shows her trying to cook fucking pizza rolls in an oven where they're just like falling through the racks and shit.
Yeah.
She's just a mess. It's funny to watch. Like she owns it.
Totally.
She does. Yeah. She's made for Instagram. It's like amazing.
Made for
Instagram. It's amazing.
She's like content.
Her personality.
Yeah. It's like, I just
it's like
watch
she's got
you.
That like edgy, hilarious thing, but she also kind of wraps it up nice at the same time. Like some people are super edgy all the time. You can't really follow them for more than a month because it's like enough already with your super edginess.
She and herself
Chrissy
T,
you can taste for a minute.
Yeah, she's kind of like a pizza roll, you know? Yeah. There's a lot of molten stuff in there.
Yes.
You know,
that's just delicious, but you can't just have that. You need the little breading around the outside.
Don't eat it right out of the oven. You will burn your mouth. Like, really content. Fucking bad.
Yeah. You 3 to 4 days.
You're not gonna you'll have one and done.
Pissed for 3 to 4 days on that one. She's so strong and covered in breading. Oh, my God.
Is that oregano?
I smell the oregano. Chrissy Teigen must be here.
You smell delicious.
Chrissy, you smell delicious. Why are you with OJ right now?
What a team.
Chrissy Teigen's like, I brought the pizza rolls. Meet me at the glove store on 16th and
73rd. That's the CSI team I want to see. Chrissy Teigen and OJ. Chrissy and OJ.
The Chrissy and OJ show.
I'll watch the show.
Oh, my God.
You got the spicy package that's wrapped up nice, and then you have the spicy package
that we tried to wrap up and keeps getting out of jail. It's a pizza roll that falls apart.
Brought to you by Totino's.
My God, did OJ get out of jail again? Yes. Oh, Jesus.
Someone call CBS.
Somebody close the Isotoner store right now.
Does this make those gloves? Were you ever a glove wearer?
I have never seen the purpose of wearing a leather glove.
Unless you're murdering someone.
Or you're like Dan Marino or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, what do you wear that glove for? Like
driving.
Yeah, driving in the 1930s.
Like driving a Ferrari, a little mini Ferrari with no top. In the winter with like goggles on.
Scarf blowing in the wind behind you.
But Isotoner is like a knockoff driving glove. So, like, really, what do you wear that for?
Isotoner is the cushy American leather glove.
Yeah.
For the American idiots in the mall.
Pushing your, like, station wagon.
Yeah, exactly. Or murdering a family member.
Yeah. And one of your waitress boyfriends.
Yeah, or murdering someone over 30 years older than you. You know? Yeah. Murdering someone who's an easy kill. You can use the Isotoners.
Yeah, if it's up. Under 30, you could just, you know, get a regular glove. It's a special.
A nice mitten will do.
The mitten usually helps to play. You get the mitten with the little foldable fingers on it. That's how they murder people nowadays.
Sending this to the cops. Screenshotting this and texting it in. Don't call me. Have you ever had somebody like say, I'm screenshotting this and sending it to somebody? I have.
I think so.
And it pissed me off.
Yeah.
I was like, you little bitch.
What part of your genitalia was it a picture of?
No, it was like a work buddy of mine. And I was like saying something like, he was being a real dick about something. I was like, why are you going to be like, you know, like I brought you on this job. He's like, I'm screenshotting this and sending it to our boss. I was like, you are a bitch.
I mean, that's a little bitch move.
Yeah, I was like, really, bro? We can't just like.
Were you texting about the boss? Like, he's such a great boss. He's the best boss I've ever had in my life. What a hunk, you know?
Yeah, it was like,
I'm sure it was
total hunk.
I was like trying to switch like shifts with him and like take the opening shift so I could go to like an LAFC playoff game or some shit. He was being a bitch about it. I got him the job in the first place, and then he was like,
"That's harsh, man."
Yeah, he was like, "I'm screenshotting this because I called him out." He's like, I was like, go right ahead, you little punk. Like,
yeah. It's a lot.
That's brutal.
Do it.
You can fake
that guy sucks.
Conversation.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I'm not going to work
like,
with
literally, that guy sucks. Yeah.
I'm not going to work with that guy again. Not going to recommend him for a job.
You should send a fake text message meme out of him saying crazy shit to you.
There are multiple websites you can do that.
Yeah, that's like a whole phenomena. Like,
what, memes? It's like,
no, you just like make. Like it looks like a text message because it's in the bubbles.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
Photoshop,
yeah.
Like whatever.
They have those like and conversations it's, like, not between real. Like a
it's
shark.
Not real. They don't even use those bubbles anymore.
Yeah, I don't even do that.
Bubbles like, in 20 years.
You're just ready to screenplay.
Yeah, word art.
It's hard to talk about this. It's a really hard subject that people have trouble with.
Yeah.
That was on his text message. Y'all using carrier pigeons? Like
yeah, man. I can't send an emoji on a podcast.
Yeah.
No. Let's describe our favorite emoji in great detail. It's yellow. And it's got hard eyes. But it's also got the face of a shark. And there's water
language
dripping
will
down
evolve
from
to that point where we have like the equivalent of like what an emoji looks like in a podcast somehow. Think about it. Like, it's like a post-speak world.
Yeah, like, no, there's like emoji. Like, my friend like dropped off Facebook for like 7 years. He was like, well, since I came back, like the only thing I retained from reading, not reading his post was that the one thing was like emoji responses. Like, you can actually respond to somebody and it's like a whole sentence with like one emoji.
Oh, for sure.
It's like sure. The next language. Like,
this is a hidden language.
My dad was like a computer programmer and he was like, dude, this emoji shit is like driving computer programmers crazy because it's like everything's ones and zeros and then you add in like pictures and it's like
I could probably do it. The Chinese have been using emojis for their language for a long time.
So the Egyptians, like,
it's like, been around.
Yeah.
We're just finally catching up. Americans, you've probably sobered up long enough to realize you could send somebody a happy face.
They were like, maybe we should paint on the phones like they did on the walls of Egypt.
That's when I send to Panda Express, just a frowny face. I get orange chicken every single day. Dude, I mean, we're talking about the Egyptians a bunch tonight, you know? It's like hieroglyphics. They were just like big eagles, big like, you know, Tutan Ra's and stuff, and our boy Osiris, you know? They were communicating with pictures all the time. Our boy.
So, Brandon, you brought over. What'd you bring over?
That is the Game of Thrones Johnny Walker. Both Fire of Ice. And what's the winter one called again?
Song of the Stark. Ice.
Yeah. That's
Fire
right.
is Targaryen.
Stark family.
Stark.
Ice is the Starkies.
Yeah. And they're two totally different blends.
They're both fantastic.
I have no idea what it is.
You know,
the ice one's
seven
delicious.
Parts of it were great, and then the eighth part just sucked.
It made me just cancel my HBO immediately. I was like, what the fuck is this? Really, I don't want it ever again.
I've never drank whiskey that made me drive to drink as much as that.
After that eighth, I was like, somebody was like, oh yeah, it's this show on HBO, it's good. I was like, yeah, fuck you.
The bottom part of this sounds like it tastes like George Martin giving up.
Let me die.
It has the faint aroma of the writing door room closing with him walking out in season, what was that, six or and a half or something?
I can smell the bathtubs filled with money that nobody got out of to write that season.
Fucking giant's milk of money.
Sir, would you
that
like
was probably
to get
the best part in the whole series.
The giant?
The giant's milk where,
oh, yeah.
Where the guy was talking about suckling the giant's teat. And it made him strong, the redhead dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had some great lines.
He was classic.
That's the part you liked?
Yeah,
that's
the hilarious. Part.
That was the best part of
titties.
A grown man sucking a man's titties. That's the part that you like.
I really started getting
80 hours of TV.
That's when I took my pants off right there. I was watching. I was fully clothed.
I'm going to have fucking Miss Lisa in the other room play back the clip when we go live. And you know, I can't do the joke, but it was a good joke. The giant's milk. It made him strong. She suckled him with her teat.
Oh, absolutely.
She laid with him, gave him strength through her titties.
My favorite thing about the end was like when all these like just bad conspiracy theories about like Game of Thrones being terrapin started.
What?
Like, it started like George R. R. Martin's
a
deadhead. Yeah. And when
is he Bob Weir in a fat suit? Let's be
honest. I want to know more about
Bob,
that.
Bob's not supposed to know.
Is that why Bob's hitting the weight so hard? Because he's trying to shed those.
He's trying to jump. Exactly.
He has to lose it all from winter to summer tour.
Dude, Direwolf, they got the songs. Yeah. Yeah. Let's be honest. There's a lot of clues here. Okay, anyway, sorry.
No, that's all there is to it. I'm just like, you know, there was like a night where I was like, man, the story arc of Terrapin and where Game of Thrones is going are just not lining up. Like, it's not.
It's like, where's the electric Kool-Aid acid
test?
I'm
like, it's. I see it. I see the bridge. I see the thematic connection there. But I don't see the conclusion lining up the same way.
Well, the eighth season is 90s Jerry.
Yeah. 90s
Jerry. I mean, it's a strange thing because I played Terrapin with the guys in the Dead, so mm-hmm. I kind of should know something about the song. And the only thing that happens in the song is the lady throws her fan into the fire.
Yes.
Lady that's all, the whole song.
Terrapin.
Will you throw my fan? Yeah, then they just yell Terrapin over and over and over again.
I'm going to throw my fan. Terrapin. Into the fire.
That's like how much acid were those guys on when yelling the word Terrapin over and over again was a great idea for
I think
a
that
song.
Might have been a better
fan. Imagine the record label meeting when those guys came in and were like, our new hit. This is our new hit. Terrapin.
They're singing it. They didn't even. Why didn't you guys play guitar?
They probably went in their mouth.
Yeah, but that shit slaps. So.
The record label exactly.
That had to be
like,
wild, though, in the era of like Led Zeppelin, where like you're like, yo, Led Zeppelin's already doing this weird Lord of the Rings shit over here. Like,
yeah.
That's like, what is this?
I think it would have been a better finale of Game of Thrones if everybody would just like had a bunch of acid and just like seen what happened.
Well,
like
always,
you know. Just like,
yeah, that would have been great. I think they did that. It was the episode where they didn't turn the lights on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like on acid, that episode looks amazing.
They were like, they should have turned like, all the lights on and put on the Allman Brothers. A lot better.
Daenerys lives and rides away to fucking.
Sweet Melissa.
Sweet Jessica Jam of Daenerys.
And then everybody takes their tops off, dude. That's what I would have done. Yeah. If I were doing HBM, that would be the ending game.
Competitive ending, I think competitive. Maybe
we can do a reboot, maybe. Like, just bring it back.
That's kind of what like The Sopranos did in the like that season where like Tony got like popped. And
allegedly, dude. We never
allegedly.
Know.
No.
That's the finale.
You're allegedly.
There was the season where he got shot, and then he went into like a dream sequence for
oh, yeah, you thought he died.
Like, yeah, you thought he died, but it was
he
like
lived
three
in Costa
episodes,
Mesa
and you're like, yo, this
California
is some.
He was in
yeah, you're like, this is some. This is ridiculous. Who ever thought like?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's,
yeah,
those are the best episodes, and it's like Steve Buscemi welcomes him into that house, and he's like, come in, and that's like the final frontier.
How about when he like, fucked the lady with one leg?
Now we're talking.
Were you not like, whoa? Didn't see that coming.
Some I'd say she's the best.
Did he like
take no other leg at all?
It was like a prosthetic limb.
Do you remove? The limb.
I think he took it. That's what I was about to say.
I think Russian, that's dude. What made it funny.
He was like, yeah, I think that was the kick.
That was
yeah.
the laugh.
You were like, oh, he's doing well, it.
The lack of a kick. Yeah.
That was the one leg kick. It was like, he was like, hold on, let me take this off.
That's a good Sopranos.
I mean, honestly, if you're going to have sex with a one legged woman, it's might kind of a well. Whole nother game.
Might as well take
it's
the leg
a whole.
Off.
You might as well take the leg off because see that's the got. Only time you're going to get to do that
that's
in your entire life.
That's an angle you can't get with two legs.
You're never going to get that with the normal. You're on another level at that point.
Yeah. Oh, you obviously don't hang out in the burn ward like that. Yeah. So what's shaking?
My skin.
I don't do that.
Lanolin, $35. I got some lanolin. Lanolin.
Isn't that like a that one of the string dusters plays one of this, right?
Yeah.
Lanolin.
He rips on that.
Lanolin is when you play a mandolin that's made out of butter.
That shit, third one melted tonight.
Yeah.
Halfway through the first song.
Damn lanolin. I didn't play over my bread. I play over my bread and put it on
I can't
the side.
It's not mandolin.
Oh, Black Manny. It's like, oh, Black Manny, land a land. Oh, Black Manny, land.
That song still blows me away because that's
you guys should cover that.
The most popular song in the world, and
because
I only heard of it like 5 years ago.
What?
Yeah. I heard it 5 years ago, and I was like, oh, that song's interesting.
You
and then everybody,
Blow?
Then I went to some party and they played it and everybody was dancing. And I was like, what is this Black Betty song?
Did you like,
I missed
did you never just like exist in that world that listened to like classic rock radio? Like,
I did.
Dude, I'm in a band. I was born in that world.
No. But like, but that was
I know
such,
every
like,
single song yeah, in that world.
No, but
I can
that was
them.
Such a classic rock
I know, and it just like, missed it completely.
I think Blow brought it back, obviously.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, the movie?
Yeah.
Because I was in Australia. I was in Australia, in the north part of Australia, some like island resort that the Chinese people go to. So it was just me, and then there's these Chinese people in
what
the
hotel.
What was
the resort's name? Just emoji?
It's like a Hilton in Hamilton Island is where it was.
Okay.
Enjoy.
So Google Hamilton Island. It's a really great place to go on vacation. We go to the hotel, and I'm sucked into cricket in the lobby. I can't stop watching cricket.
Oh, yeah.
I just sit there. It was India-Pakistan. It's addicting. I can't stop watching this. I'm like transfixed by cricket. I don't know why. I think I was just tired.
It's the bounce. It's how they...
It's like hypnotic. Like, that I just got into it. Next thing you know, like 4 days went by. And I'm watching the thing, and they strike the TV, and they bring in this little DJ, and all these Chinese people come in for some kind of wedding dinner thing. I have no say in the matter. And I've been watching cricket for 4 days straight. Because this game's going forever. I don't even know how to keep scoring cricket. They took away my little mesmerization drug. So I'm talking to these people, and while I'm talking to them, they played the Black Betty song, and everybody went to the dance floor and went crazy.
That's amazing.
And I was like, what song is this? Is this like the new hot song? And the girl I was with was like, no, dude, this is like a dumb song from the 70s. I've never heard. That's the first. I remember the first time I heard that song.
But it's pretty good.
That's insanity. Because
it was 3 years ago.
That's absolutely insane.
Yeah, I didn't even know you were singing right
now. Dude, check this out. I'm sure you haven't
seen the music
video.
I feel like that's the song that like a lot of
construction workers
start the day
with. The music video is fantastic. Yeah,
I feel like that's a song that a lot of babies have been made to.
The music video is next level. Dude, the lead guitarist was like, he's kind of this strangly looking jam. Dude with like big blonde hair and then like horn-rimmed glasses. And they're all standing in front of like a trailer park and they're just ripping. But the thing is, you know, like most 70s music videos, they're all obsessed with looking cool and shit. And like how big can the guitar solo be? These guys are like licking at the camera and stuff and like getting weird, dude. So, you know, I think that's why that song stands the test of time, dude. It's because
the video.
The video and also... It's just like, it's a song about just being a goofball, dude. It's just about like, down.
You know what the lyrics are of that song?
Oh, Black Betty.
I didn't even know what that means. I just heard, oh, Black Betty.
Well, it's very similar to like, Ramble-lam. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Oh, Black Betty. Down. You know, they're like very similar, that kind of like honky tonk. We're dancing around a barn type music.
Black Betty had a child, got damn thing gone wild.
Yeah.
Ramble-lam.
Down.
We used to have this like joke in college that like, it was like, nothing good can happen when you're driving a car and that song comes on because like the impetus to just gun it, just go just push the limit.
And
like,
also you're probably in a tractor.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's a lawnmower.
With gonorrhea.
Right. Dude, I never sit in shorts on a tractor. Yeah.
Like, song is so important.
We had this like college part, like ranch style house that we were renting out, and like one of my friends, Kevin, like he never like really had girls over, you know, and he had one in the room, and like we were jamming, we were partying out in the house, and like we could start, you know, they were starting to make noise back there, and we like so we put on Black Betty and like just cranked it, you know. An hour later, he comes out of the room and he was like, "Oh, dude, you guys put on like Black Betty like right when I was like just fucking hit it." It like took me to the next level. And it was like, boom! And they're like, fuck yeah.
And she said five times her name was Puerto Rican Sharon.
He's like,
not a joke in this day and age. Still, it makes me laugh.
Are there any
laughter
like,
extends across generations.
Are there any like really
China.
Good covers of it?
Yeah, like
I don't think there
resorts.
Are any really good covers.
They like, love the song. Yeah. They were
I think the Biscuits should play Black Betty as well.
I don't think there's a good cover.
Have you been to China, Jeff?
It's not even a real song. The fact that you guys like this song is an anomaly. You guys must have brain
tumors.
It's
a riff. It's just a riff.
A brain tumor thing going on.
Oh, that's what that is. Yeah, my doctor actually called it the Black Betty.
It's funny, like in the 70s, you had two songs to choose from, Terrapin Station or Black Betty.
I chose Terrapin.
Like, what the hell?
Let me get this straight.
Also more than
let me get this straight. I chose Terrapin.
There's a third option.
What was the third one?
More Than a Woman by the Bee Gees. More Than a Woman.
That was your choice.
The Bee Gees get a lot of flack. They're
pretty
cool.
Good, yeah.
Dude, they started out as like a Beatles knockoff from Australia, dude. And then all of a sudden, like,
I thought that was the Monkees.
Well, it was a lot of them, dude. Like, Everybody was trying to knock off the Beatles once upon a time. But then all of a sudden, like, this producer got a hold of them. They're like, hey, your harmony is great. It's kind of like an Eagles type thing where, like, the harmonies just sound so good. They're like, your talent's being wasted on the psychedelic stuff. Make a disco record. And then they got on Saturday Night Fever, killed it.
That's
all.
Who was that?
That's so cool.
A person I just made up for the sake of the story.
They sound like a winner.
Dude. Yeah, yeah.
But what does that person think of my band?
John, that
best
person
band in the land.
Should we make a disco record?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, disco's
worked great for the Bee Gees, I gotta say.
Disco, hell yeah.
I don't think making a disco record could have possibly worked out any better for them.
No, not at all, man. Dude, they're like perfect. They went multi-plat. Like, Saturday Night
Fever. That's what I'm saying. Like, whoever that was like disco.
Did the Bee Gees ever have to like tour? Just for studio musicians, still right?
They must have just.
Yeah, they're still touring.
But I think they were mostly studio.
A lot of people don't know this. The Bee Gees are three brothers, right? Barry, Maurice, and Andy. It's four brothers because Andy had a solo career, and then the other one was Robin Gibb. So there are four brothers. Andy was doing his solo thing, and then the other three brothers were the Bee Gees, dude, who had that awesome, like iconic harmony. And that's why they saw those. Yeah. They're like three dudes who sound exactly the same, almost like a Beach Boys from Australia.
Yeah.
Put that shit together, make a sick disco record. And like, look at, dude, go back and look at Saturday Night Fever. You know, it's John Travolta, but dude, those songs still kick.
All great.
Yeah.
They all slap.
Yeah.
All of them.
And they kept, dude, like, check out some of their early stuff too. I don't know. They were just churning out funky shit.
We're going to play some Bee Gees for you, early edition. Deep cuts.
Should that be the Bee Gees expert, Chris Lynn?
Oh, man.
I played the Bee Gees song at the acoustic shows last year. I played In the Mind of the Morning Sun. I hear you smoking in the pouring rain. Beautiful. That song is great.
Sure, there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Yeah, no, there was no dry eye. People were pouring water over their head, trying to figure out what the fuck they just paid for.
The sprinklers. Show a little fire in the back.
Yeah, seriously. Every fire alarm in the place was pulled within 8 seconds into the song.
It was the riot police coming with tear gas.
I got hit in the face with a tear gas can. That's why I perform in riot gear.
And the band played on.
No, you got to continue making music even after the backfire. It'll survive the backfire. That must be weird, though, to sing and sound like the Bee Gees. You know what I mean? Like, that's when did they start singing together and be like, oh, no, that's great. What the fuck did we just...
It was out of the womb. Yeah. They came out, and the doctor was very disturbed. Yeah. What the fuck?
The doctor's like, none of them have a normal voice.
They should join him. Boy, he's an
awesome. These guys are boy band or bust. Yeah. Let me tell you.
it was the birthing doctor. He was like, you know what? Disco album.
Disco.
These three here.
That's
platinum,
it right there.
Multi-platinum. And then mom was like,
listen,
I don't know.
Cries.
I just, the doctor said that to me. Remember that one time when the doctor said that? I just think the boys are destined for platinum records.
Wow, I wonder how much the Bee Gees and ABBA hated each other for that top.
Oh, they had to absolutely hate.
You know, I'm team Gees. I'm team Bee Gees.
Can we find that out? Can we get them on the podcast, maybe? Like,
oh, I think so, for sure.
That was Bloods and Crips shit.
Yeah,
that
was like
Tupac,
gang wars.
Fucking Biggie,
yeah.
Dude, like, but ABBA and Bee Gees.
Dancing Queen. Yeah, they were like, what the
Biggie.
Fuck is that
ABBA
song?
ABBA and the Bee Gees.
y'all look like a real beef. Disco supremacy of the
70s. Called Dancing Queens.
yeah, dance.
Had to have super fans, right? Like, they had to have, like, people that were like...
ABBA was like... ABBA, there's some cult ABBA people.
But like,
I'm sure there's cult BG people. Like,
but
Chris,
like, cult BG people are what I'm fascinated by. Dude, like,
you got me thinking big time, man, because like ABBA has obviously like two major motion pictures based on their music, right? Like Dancing Queen 1 and 2. Or Mamma Mia 1 and 2.
Yeah,
but now, like, where's the Bee Gees version of that, dude? You know?
Right.
The Bee Gees are Saturday Night Fever.
Well, that's the thing. Does Saturday Night Fever take away from the overall, like, cultural significance of it, because it's like Saturday Night Fever? Like, you're collecting think about it like a lunchbox. Are you collecting the Saturday Night Fever lunchbox, or are you collecting a Bee Gees lunchbox?
Lunchboxes all day, you know?
You're seeing John Travolta when you think of the Bee Gees.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, honestly, like, I didn't really understand that the Bee Gees did the entire soundtrack of Saturday Night Fever.
Solid point. The lead singer.
Yeah, in fact, I'm kind of
Did they?
I'm kind of blown away that you guys even know.
Did they?
I don't know. Did they?
Chris, a resident BG.
BG's expert. What do you because got? He's Swedish.
RCC.
Are all the songs.
No, dude, crazy. Did you write an oral BG. History?
What does BG mean?
He told us that already.
Background. Oh, okay.
Pay attention.
Sorry. That was high.
Dude, well, here's the crazy thing. Y'all ready for the big plot twist?
Wait.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bee Gees are from Australia, but guess who's from Sweden?
ABBA.
Fucking ABBA, dude.
That's right.
Of course. So I'm a betrayer of my own kind.
Truly hates the Bee Gees.
Much like the prisoners Britain once sent to Australia, where the Bee Gees
is ABBA. I don't want to change the subject, but I've been thinking about this all
Please
day.
Please don't change the subject.
Is ABBA?
Is
ABBA?
We're in the pocket. Okay, go ahead. He's in the pocket, guys.
Is ABBA where Sweden's rich history of electronic dance music started?
Yes.
Yeah. Unless we're wrong.
Has to be.
Yes, unless we don't know what we're talking about. Well, where's Kraftwerk from?
Right, Kraftwerk's right.
Germany.
Dude, that was East Berlin. That was back like Soviet Union shit, dude. Like the wall came down.
That was communist dance music.
It was. It really, dude. They were like they had to go underground. East Berlin still has that sick like out.
Oh, I would like you to dad.
There's a lot of like deadheads out there that love ABBA. ABBA's like a sneaky sneaks. They're sneaky like
it's a dance group.
It's 1,000% a dance group.
Yeah,
that's a great song.
Who doesn't like
the robot would like you to dance? I just made this song now. That's going to be a huge hit on the 1984 dance scene.
What? You should retroactively release an album like from the Hidden Files that is all music you made now, but be like, I've dug this deep since 1984. It's been back here. I made it when I was in East Berlin living as like a pickaxe man.
Shoe cleaner.
Yeah, of course. And then but now this comes to light now. And then bam, all of a sudden, yeah, that Todd Turier Kraftwerk craziness going on.
I'm just like, I'm fascinated by that. You know, it's dope that like Sweden has just embraced the fact that like, all right, like we make fucking dance music. Like,
yeah.
I would love to travel.
I also just watched like an Avicii, like a lot of Avicii stuff today. Poor Avicii. So like, I'm like, Avicii's very in my head right now.
He's got some bangers, man. That was a sad one for sure.
Sweden and Norway, dude. It's just like the long nights there, right? You know that's the time.
That's probably the drugs,
partying till dawn, and you don't realize it's dawn, and then you just go, and then you walk out of the club. It's probably like 11:30 a.m.
Yeah,
like 3 days after you.
You don't know what day it is.
Yeah, but it's like the sun never came up. So what can you do? You know, it's the all-time party.
Scandinavia.
I was really sad when Swedish House Mafia broke up. Like,
did they break up officially?
No, they took like a 4-year hiatus.
Ooh,
I think it was in 2013 was when they happened.
They were really the best at that whole dance
movement.
They were
the best.
They were like, that movement was really popular because they were great. And then the second they bailed, it was like, oh, this shit's cheesy.
They were like,
right.
It's like, oh my God, this is cheesy. What happened? How did I not know this?
And they like nailed such a like great like production concert cycle where they were like, all right, we're going to release a record. Cool. Now we're going to do like 3 shows. And then it's like, oh, we're going to release another record. Now we're going to do like a couple of shows. But like their shows were like 80,000 person shows. Like,
it's like when Outkast stopped rapping. You're like, wait, what? What happened to rap?
Yep. Did you ever see that Key and Peele sketch about like why Outkast doesn't tour anymore? And it's like Big Boy sitting in there, you know, like true Atlanta.
He's
like, from Savannah. Like, you know, he's hanging out in this coffee shop. And then Andre 2000 comes bustling in his Robin Hood cap. And it's like, oh, take a fishbowl full of Gatorade. And they're like, hey, what's up, man? It's like, so do you want to get back together? It's like, no. Because there's a dichotomy there. I mean, like, what was it? Speaker Box, Love Below. All of a sudden, you see that, like, Big Boy puts out a trap record that's tight, dude. It stands up. But then Andre 2000 starts putting out Hey Ya and, like, great, like, transcendent pop hits. But at the same time, they're divergent, man. Those aren't the same groups.
Yo, that was so cool, though, to own the double disc. Like,
yeah, that was dope.
Like, you're like, oh, this one thing is this, and this other thing is something different.
How cool is that? And they were like versus each other, kind of, but they complement each other.
No, I mean, like, each side had like 3 legitimate songs, like really good songs.
Sure.
You know, 3 more than that, but like three offerings from each of them.
Mom loved the Big Boy side.
Was the Big Boy side the one with my favorite
awesome. The jazz version of My Favorite Things on it with like this like crazy like techno breakbeat thing on it.
He was doing a lot.
You know what I'm talking? There's like, there were a couple like straight up instrumental, like tracks on that. I remember I played it for my dad. I was like, ooh, this is my favorite.
Big Boy's
place.
Got like a, there's a lot of Big Boy stayed at. I mean, there's a lot of like solo Big Boy stuff that like Follow Us and like some shit he did with George Clinton and stuff. Like, that one is like, I blow my smoke in the air, shine blockers. Big Boy's, but they need Andre back before, you know, and they, that needs to happen.
It probably will.
Yeah.
Before we're gone.
Yeah.
Dude, but the.
Yeah, what happened? They broke up. Yeah. I think they put like an Andre's album out later together, and it wasn't good.
They did
good,
that
right?
huge festival
they,
circuit
they
tour.
They probably did one more.
Yeah, but they
I
haven't
think they
done
did one more. Like after the breakup, they came back together and did another one.
And it was there, like
no, a couple years ago, they did a whole Outkast where they did like Coachella, Lala, like they did all the like crazy soft ticket like shows. Yeah.
Wow, you gotta do soft ticket shit.
I mean, they made a shit soft ton tickets. Of money.
How long did you do soft tickets for?
I did soft ticket shit. What?
How long did you? Would you say you were in the soft ticket pocket?
I'm still in soft ticket. For sure. I mean, you don't care how it does.
That's where you want to be.
Fucking great. And they pay you through the teeth, and you only have to play like 71 minutes.
Right.
Which I know playing 3.5 hours is great and all, but 71 minutes is kind of dope because you get like a whole night to do shit.
You can do 3 songs.
I can do 3.5 songs.
Fuck yeah.
I can tie on a keyboard solo and a guitar solo. Out of there.
James Setman.
Ladies and gentlemen, guy with laptop. Following.
ABBA. Ladies and gentlemen.
ABBA with the laptop. ABBA. Disco Biscuits and then ABBA and laptop.
Followed by Ram Jam. With their one song.
And in the late night, Ted.
Maybe the whole color spectrum, Betty, actually. It's Roy G. Biv.
We have
Betty.
Red, black, yellow.
What's your favorite soft ticket to play?
We're playing Electric Forest this year.
Oh, that's right. That's all right.
I think that's
super
worth
squishy.
Yeah, that's worth the trip. I think it sold out already, though.
Yeah.
Really? It sold out in like 8 seconds.
Where is that?
Michigan.
It's in Michigan.
How long has that been sold? Like, that thing always sells out. That is a monumental festival.
It's like Jesus Festival, right?
I don't know.
Drink
this
festival?
Year it sold out. And
no.
It's right now.
The promos always look monumental. Like, just the cool shit, dude. Like,
what do they
used to
they be
got VIP
Roxbury
sections
there,
right? And
it
like
used to be called Roxbury.
Their design and stuff is through the it looks like.
Yeah,
it.
They have this forest which is really lit up and stuff like that, and people take acid and walk through the forest. And they don't come
no
out.
Way.
Yeah.
All my
people are like, wait, you played the festival? I'm like, yeah, what happened to you? They're like, oh no, we walked into the forest and now we've been there for 4 days.
Lost in the forest.
It was just like
we wound up in Vancouver.
You've had my phone the whole time. You know that, right?
What bands did you see?
Oh, sorry.
I don't know.
Give me a hug.
I think that's like a. I think Bass Nectar. That's on like the.
Well,
Bass
String
Nectar
Cheese is always top billing, and then Bass Nectar is like right under them. Is it? I don't know.
This year, it's String Cheese, Bass Nectar, Diplo, Major Lazer, us, and Big Gigantic.
Oh, Mazer. Yeah. Diplo's going to bring Major Lazer in?
Okay. Diplo, when that's he plays festivals, sick. He goes as both himself and Thumb Major down. Lazer yeah. because.
That's
just,
I mean,
when you're Diplo, I think you just dude, put shit like that.
It's just
time. Not only does he show up in both,
could
he
you
demands full payment for
could you
both.
Imagine,
acts.
Nah, you
Major,
know that the
Major
person
Laser is like him and
like
his boy.
Like when you show up with yourself right. and your Kraftwerk cover.
Like, yeah, you know that
he's like, wait a second, we have 7 billion views on our last song. And they're like, okay, you're okay.
You know that the right, person is in that
Cardi B along. Yeah, why not?
You know that the person is in that crowd, though, that like just wants to see Diplo and is like, yeah, I'm good on Major Laser.
Yeah. Right.
And you're like, yeah. And that's like really funny.
But if you're Diplo and they're like, how about 150 grand? He's like, how about 300 and I'll bring my boy.
I'll tell you the truth, we tried that with Tractor Beam at Electric Forest this year.
Nice. You should late night Tractor Beam tent at Electric Forest.
We
the
tried
fuck?
To have them book Tractor
Is it
Beam
too late?
And Disco
I mean,
Biscuits separately from each
it's
other.
It's never too
they
late.
They said maybe.
It's never
then
too late.
They just said no.
Yeah, but it's
but
not.
But it's just because nobody's heard of Tractor Beam.
You can always. Yeah, but.
Next year.
They don't need it. They don't need to hear about it, Electric Forest, if you're listening. You don't need to hear about it. You just need to put it as a late edition in a late night tent, and then the word will get out. And it'll be a fucking party. So
don't worry, all the organizers still lost in the forest from last year.
Yeah.
Nobody's out of the forest yet.
They're looking for food.
This is on. This is on.
I don't know how they announce a show in the forest, but they pull it off every year.
Carrier pigeons. Tell me they didn't launch one off.
Sorry, this is on a loudspeaker in the forest. You send tractor beam, guys. Late night.
You send a carrier pigeon to Facebook, and they post everything.
Yeah. We were talking, dude. Maybe Brandon. This is a set. It's tractor beam in a gazebo in the forest with
that kind of.
Yeah, why wouldn't that be the best show of the night? Give me one reason why that's not the best show.
Tractor beam in like one of those Gravitron type fair rides.
Like all tight and shit. So tight. Guitar like running up.
I mean, the way those things work, though,
they could just like look like that.
The way those things work, the person in the middle isn't
just jam.
Spinning.
Yeah,
I think so, we just like, came it's up. Like an amusement ride.
Dude,
where
we just
like,
came up with something.
Yo, like
scene
you got
in Fear
the band in the middle,
you know,
everybody else is on the side.
Trademarked.
Yeah,
trademarked.
You ever seen that movie with Johnny Depp and Guillermo del Toro? When they go,
grab me one. Yeah.
I want to do another. I want to try the Targaryen.
Fire. Yes.
I want.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Electric Forest.
There you have it, folks. The podcast that continues to do strange and utterly weird things. This conversation picks up in episode 2, which is coming as next episode of the podcast. So thank you for listening. Thank you to the Osiris Podcast Network. Thank you to Immaculate Seeds. Thank you to Crunk Mike and Vic Sobti. And we will be back next episode with the conclusion of Roundtable.
We're mass communicating. We're mass communicating.